Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Coffee Break Conversations, Season 1, Episode 8. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Coffee Break Conversations podcast. I'm Mark, the host of Coffee Break Languages, and this week I'm speaking to someone who has turned their passion for languages into a business. Beck Howie from Melbourne, Australia, founded Irregular Endings, a business selling beautiful printed goods for language lovers, including calendars, flashcards, and diaries. She's also one of the founding members of Language Lovers AU, a community for all those who are interested in language learning in Australia. And as if that wasn't enough, along with co-founder Penny Wilson, another language-loving Australian, Beck co-hosts the Language Chats podcast. In this interview, we hear more about Beck's story, about language learning in Australia, and the types of events and meetups organised by Language Lovers AU. So without further ado, let's get started. And we are absolutely delighted today to be joined by Beck. Beck, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me here.
We are delighted to have you here in the Coffee Break studio. You're far travelled. The accent immediately should give it away.
It should.
Tell us a little more about where you're from and what brings you to the Coffee Break studio today.
So I'm from Australia. That's mm-hmm. probably evident from my accent. I'm from Melbourne, which is right down south. And I'm here in Glasgow today. I'm actually really on holiday.
Making you work on your holiday is terrible.
No, but I had been here in Scotland for the language event Edinburgh, which was on last weekend at the time of recording. And I've been having a lovely week here in Scotland with my husband, actually.
You can tell us a little more about your trip to Scotland in just a moment. We love hearing about people coming to Scotland and enjoying the country. But anyway, first of all, tell us a little about some of the things that you do that are linked to language learning, because I know you've got your finger in many pies.
I do. So I guess the main thing that I've been doing that is language related is I have a little business called Irregular Endings, mm-hmm. Where I make printed goods for people who are learning languages or interested in languages. And it's just to help people bring a little bit of the language that they're learning into their everyday life through something that is bright and colourful and is a bit of fun.
And physical.
Something that's very tangible. So greeting cards and stationery mm-hmm. and bags and things like that. Like I said, just lots of fun stuff.
I think that's exactly it, because when you're learning a language, bringing that language into the everyday parts of life is so important. Basically, the more you get a little input in the language, the better. And if you can do that by the things that you're carrying around or the greeting cards that you're sending, then it's perfect.
That's exactly right. I think it's very hard. It can be very hard in an English-dominated society in particular to have any kind of input from, you know, with the language that you are learning. And yeah, for me, it really is about those little steps that you can take, the little things that you can see. If you've got a notepad on your desk that has, you know, some words in your target language that you just see all of the time, and that can be the small amount of input that just reminds you every day to be checking and to be having something in your mind reminding you that, oh yes, that's what, you know, Monday is in French. Oh yeah, today is lundi, c'est lundi. And then suddenly you realize that actually in your regular everyday, whether you're at work or at home or, you know, anywhere, you can still have the language that you're learning involved in your life. You don't have to necessarily be in a country where it's spoken.
Absolutely. So important. So important. Now, you also are involved in a community in Australia. Tell us more about the language learning community that you are involved in.
Yeah. So that's called Language Lovers AU. Now, myself and Penny Wilson, who's another language loving Australian.
Hi, Penny.
Hi, Penny. We started that together, and that was pretty much because we met. And then we were like, wow, this is great. Having somebody else in Australia who's interested in languages, would you believe it? Which as soon as we had this fantastic first discussion, then we thought we can't be the only ones. It can't be just us. There must be some other people. Maybe there aren't, but we'll just see if there are. And so initially we just started a Facebook group just to, you know, put it out there. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else who wants to get together and chat about languages, or who might like to come to some events, to some physical, real meetups where you can meet with other people who are interested in many languages? So not specifically one or another, but maybe lots. And that was how Language Lovers AU got started. So yeah, that is mainly a community, but mm-hmm. we do run some events as well.
So tell us a little about the type of events that you run.
So we have sometimes just regular social meetups, which are just about getting people together in the same place. We also run some more specific events for specific languages to help people have an experience in our city where they can use the language that they're learning in a very active way. So the first sort of category of those are called language walkshops, and they're like a walking workshop where you can be doing something, moving around, talking to a group of people, and it's led by a teacher usually. And it just means that you can use the existing situation that you're in, the place where you are, where, of course, not everybody else is speaking the language that you're learning, but you can, and you can use the things that you're seeing around you to help prompt you and remind you of things that you might, you know, maybe vocabulary that you haven't learned yet. Oh, I'd really like to be able to say this in Italian or in French. So
and you're in the best situation there because you can ask the person exactly.
Exactly. You've got someone to assist you, and you've got other people around you who are in exactly the same situation too. They're, you know, they're also learners as well. So you're kind of all in it together. So we run some of those. We also have some introductory workshops that we run called Language Bites. And they're kind of a beginner workshop that's organised over a meal. So it's a nice sort of convivial, you know, warm environment where you get to enjoy a great meal and also get to learn a little bit about the language and maybe the culture of that specific, the relevant language, I suppose, in that case.
So in Australia, are there lots of people learning languages?
Yes, I would say there are lots of people learning languages.
That's the right answer.
It's quite heartening for those of us who are interested in languages. And I think that maybe like in the UK, a lot of people have exposure to languages at school, but later in life as adults, they often come back to wanting to learn languages. And it's important at that point to sometimes be able to show people that the way that they learnt languages at high school or at primary school is not necessarily the way you have to learn languages later on. Mm-hmm. And that's something else that, you know, through Language Lovers AU, we try to be able to show people within the community and people who come to our events, because that is something that I've found is not evident. People really do feel like often that the only way to learn a language is to be seated at a desk.
In a class, yeah.
And although there's nothing wrong with classes, I love classes. And I do enjoy some good sort of sit-down learning time. It is important to acknowledge as well that there is, like, learning a language is about communicating with other people. And if you're not communicating with other people, then you're, you know, potentially missing some of that joy that there is in interacting with others. Yeah, it's something that we like to promote through those events, and also something that we like to chat about on our podcast, Language Chats.
So, your podcast. Yeah. Tell us more about your podcast.
So, we have a podcast called Language Chats. It is, a learner's point of view into language-related topics that we like to discuss. Basically, Penny and I were having some chats with each other, conversations that, you know, over coffees, coffee breaks.
That one's taken. Okay,
yes, it is. But we were having some chats together about, you know, things that we were using to learn, some, you know, interesting moments where we found ourselves caught at a bit of a loss for words or mistakes that we'd made, or really successful moments where we found we could say something and, you know, wasn't that great. And these sorts of discussions, we were like, actually, it might be fun to share some of these with other people too. And that's how we started the podcast.
So you continue to produce the podcast. You do that. Is that weekly? Is it in seasons? How does it work?
We usually do it fortnightly.
Fortnightly, okay.
Yeah, fortnightly. So with a focus, I suppose, on being Australians who are learning languages, but it is a podcast, we hope, for all learners everywhere.
Excellent. Good stuff. Now, as a learner yourself, let's talk a little bit about your own language learning, because you've mentioned that you feel yourself as a learner. Tell us about the languages that you have encountered yourself.
Okay. So I started learning French. That was, I guess, probably been my longest language love.
Okay.
I learned it at school right the way through from the very beginning, although I'm sure like most other people, it feels like you didn't really start learning a language at school until later in the piece. So
yeah.
Even if you were sort of doing it primary school, really you were just sort of building some vocab. But, you know, later on it got better. So I did French through school, through uni as well. And now I get to work with the French language through my day job, mm-hmm. which is very cool.
And can I ask what that day job is?
Yes. So I work for the Alliance Française in Melbourne.
So your day job involves you in languages as well.
Absolutely. Which is, it's a very cool thing to be able to have another language that I can use day to day in Australia. That's, quite a cool thing to have for work.
Has it always been French that has been your main interest?
So initially it was, but I guess French was kind of a gateway into being interested in other languages too. So I then started learning some German with my husband. That was about 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago. Uh-huh. And we just were doing some evening classes, you know, once a week, nothing too intense, but we really enjoyed it. So that sort of sparked a new love for the German language there. And then a little bit later, I started learning some Italian.
Mm-hmm.
We were planning a trip to Sicily and we'd been watching some Italian TV. And so I got very, very interested in Italian. So I thought, oh, why not? You know, we've got some French anyway. We'll just use some romance language help.
Yep.
with that one. And so I started learning some Italian, and then I'm a bit of a serial dabbler. So I do love to have a little bit of a try, in many other little languages, but, yeah, they're the main ones.
Okay. Would you say that focus on sort of European languages, for want of a better word, is that common in Australia? Do people tend to learn those languages, or are Japanese, Mandarin, Cantonese and Vietnamese and so on, are they equally as popular?
I would say that there's a real mix, especially from a school, like education point of view.
Yeah.
It used to be very European languages focused. In the last probably 30 to 40 years, I would say that the increase on Asian languages as a focus is something that we've really seen. And that's still very much promoted these days too. So although French and Italian still remain very, very common languages at school, so are Mandarin, Chinese, Indonesian to a degree, Japanese, although there used to be more of a focus on Japanese, and that's sort of being replaced more by Mandarin Chinese now. So depending on what school you went to and what mixture of languages you may have had, you may have had exposure to any of those,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully kept up some interest in some of those too over time.
Yeah. Is Korean making any developments in education?
Interestingly, I read an article not too long ago from SBS. I don't know if you know the SBS. They're one of our broadcasting, the special broadcasting service in Australia, who have a fantastic multilingual range of content. They had an article not too long ago about people being increasingly interested in Australia in learning Korean because of K-pop,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was actually really cool, and which I love as well, because I'm really passionate about showing people that they should use things that they're passionate about, things that interest them in life, to to help learn the languages that they want to learn, or if that's a reason that you want to learn a language, go for it, because it's just, you know, that is what will get you motivated. If you love listening to K-pop and you want to be able to understand all the words that you're listening to a song, use it, go for it, why not? So I think that's actually very, very cool. And if that, you know, drives more people to do it, then absolutely.
I always think it's not even necessarily about the particular language that you're learning. It's about that idea of acquiring another code, another system,
exactly.
And the changes that that makes in your brain, and the abilities that develops in you, and all the side skills that you pick up in addition to being able to speak in that language or communicate in that language.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Okay, we're going to take a short break there, and we'll be back in just a moment to find out more about Beck's own language learning experience. Here at Coffee Break Languages, we provide a whole range of materials to help you take your next step with learning a language. We offer free podcasts in a range of languages, and also full online courses with video materials, lesson notes, and more to help you make faster progress. Just search for Coffee Break Languages or visit coffeebreakacademy.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Coffee Break Conversations, and today we're talking to Beck Howie from Australia, and we're going to find out more about her experience both as a language professional and as a language learner. Beck, as a language learner, like all of our listeners, I'm sure that you've encountered some challenging aspects of learning a language. Can you share with us any situations where you've found maybe hitting a brick wall in your learning or some setbacks, but being able to get over them?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's normal for everyone to experience setbacks and also to have moments where you just don't have any motivation. Sometimes you just lose it. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with having a lull. It just happens in life, you know. But it's always getting back to it. And I think what's really important when you're trying to re-motivate yourself again is what got you here in the first place? Why did you decide you wanted to learn insert language here? Uh-huh. You know, what was there? Is it K-pop? You know, was it the music that really got you interested in wanting to learn Korean? Was there a TV show? This always happens to me. I love TV, uh-huh. And I'm very, very distracted by TV shows that have other languages in them because I'm like, oh, that sounds great. Maybe I'll learn that. But for me, like relatively recently for German, I have had some German TV shows that I have absolutely loved and been obsessed with.
Okay.
And whenever I felt that moment where I'm kind of like, ugh, I'm a bit over adjective declensions. And then I'm like, actually, you know what? I'm just going to go and watch a few episodes of The Dark.
Oh, anybody The Dark's
else has watched
wonderful,
Dark?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. So,
I've not watched season 2 yet, so don't tell me anything.
No spoilers. But you know, I'll go and watch an episode or a couple of episodes of it, of one of the TV shows that really gets me feeling again. Oh gosh, I love this language. I love how it sounds. I love how it meets my ears. And that will, you know, get you back again into being like, okay, I'm ready to try something, you know, I'm ready to try and, you know, do some writing practice, or I'm ready to take a lesson with somebody. And that's what you've really got to find and stick to.
I think you're absolutely right. And it's funny you saying about TV. One of my earliest memories of the dabbling that you mentioned earlier in other languages came, and I can't even remember when this would be, probably mid-80s. So I would be 11 or 12 or something like that. And I remember the wonderful Clive James broadcasting about, he did a trip to Kenya. And he spoke a few words of Swahili in this, which of course immediately sent me off on trying to go to the library to find a Teach Yourself Swahili book. And just that little spark of interest, I think, I wonder what language they speak there, and, you know, trying to learn that. And of course, nowadays it's so easy. You don't have to find I actually remember at the time I had to put in an order for them to transfer the Teach Yourself Swahili book from another local library to my library so that I could learn a few words of Swahili at the time.
But it's that curiosity, isn't it? I think whatever sparked your curiosity initially, like grab onto or sparks your curiosity along the way as well, because there will be many things when you're learning a language that you're like, ooh, what's that? Ooh, what's that? And if you can take tabs of what those moments are, that is what you will need at your down times.
Yeah. Yeah.
The times where you have a setback, you need to have your little list of things that get you going again and be able to, okay, all right, here's my list. You know, what's gonna get me back on the bandwagon again.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, it's time for the quickfire round. So first of all, your favorite language.
French. I think I just have to give it to French.
Okay.
It would be unfair not to. it's given me a lot, and I'm grateful for that.
Do you have a favorite word or phrase in French?
Yes. I have a couple. Can I have a couple? So I love l'esprit de l'escalier, which is an expression about wanting, yes, the idea of wanting to go back and say something that you think of later.
Yeah.
To, you know, when you had a great comeback for something that someone said, but you didn't have it at the time.
Yes.
And you have it 5 minutes later and you're like, oh.
If only I had remembered that.
If only I'd known that then. So I do love that idea, because we don't really have a direct translation for that in English. I have also always loved the word tristesse.
Huh.
And it means sadness,
yeah.
Which I know, you know, it's not really a positive word, but I just love how it sounds. Tristesse.
Just for our listeners who aren't learning French, l'esprit de l'escalier is literally the spirit of the staircase.
Yes.
And we should really try to find out why the spirit of the staircase is called that.
I always imagine myself like tumbling down the stairs afterwards, like being like, oh no, I had a comeback to that.
Yeah. Excellent. You mentioned a German TV show earlier, Dark, but do you have any other favourite TV shows or films in various languages that you're learning?
Yes. So, well, my favourite German film is probably one of my favourite films of all time, and it's in German, Das Leben der Anderen.
Wonderful film.
Yeah, fantastic film. In English, it's called The Lives of Others. Mm-hmm. I would recommend to anybody, if you haven't seen this film, please go out and watch it. I don't know if it's on any streaming services, but if it's not, find the DVD, yeah, because you will thank me later.
It is a brilliant film. And even the declension of the
yes,
noun in the title,
exactly,
gives you something to think about.
I'll never forget it.
What about a favourite destination to practice a language you're learning, or a language you may learn in the future?
Ooh, great question. So,
other than Scotland, obviously.
Yes, that's right. I might need to learn some Scots Gaelic, I think, after this trip. I've been a bit enamoured with Scotland.
Excellent.
I'll go to a past one.
Mm-hmm.
I learnt some Italian before going to Sicily, and I had an absolutely fantastic time there. And I would happily go back to Sicily and both practice my Italian and hopefully one day learn some Sicilian.
Fantastic. Okay. And finally, in our quick fire round, where would your ideal coffee break be, and with whom?
Ooh, this is a tough question. my ideal coffee break, I'm not sure that the two parts of this are going to quite combine, but okay. Let's just go with it. So my ideal coffee break would be in a very beautiful part of France that I spent some time au pairing, about 7 or 8 years ago now, when I was still like a little student. So I was an au pair in a place called Île de Ré in the southwest of France. It was beautiful. I would love to go back there again, and that would be where my ideal coffee break would be. The person who my ideal coffee break would be is David Crystal.
Okay.
Now, he's an English linguist, and I've read almost all of his books, and I think he would just the endless language conversations, and they'd be so interesting. I would love to have a coffee break with him.
David Crystal on Île de Ré in France, yeah?
Yep.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do. Okay, finally, you mentioned that you've been in Scotland. So tell us a little about your experiences in our beautiful country.
Oh, I have had the most wonderful time here, and I've only been here not quite a week yet, almost a week. Uh-huh. So I started in Edinburgh for the language event Edinburgh, and Edinburgh is just spectacular. You walk out of the train station straight away and you've got the old town right there. It is just beautiful. So I would recommend it to anyone. We're also going back there in a couple of days too, okay. Which is exciting. So I had a great time there. We hired a car or caught up with some friends first, sort of in between Glasgow and Edinburgh.
And where was that?
Close to Bridge of Allen.
No, that's not how you said Bridge of Allen to me earlier.
No, it's not. I was educated on how I should pronounce it correctly in Scotland, and that is Bridge of Allen.
Very good, I have to say. Yeah, yeah. Your Scottish accent is much better than my Australian accent, I tell you.
So we had a wonderful time in that part of Scotland. We drove up by Loch Lubnaig, I think, is that how you pronounce it? And then we also, hired a car, drove right around via Glencoe towards Oban.
Yep.
Stayed in Oban and
beautiful
then we've made our
world.
Way back to Glasgow. So we've had just the most fantastic time here. It is absolutely spectacular.
And you've been quite blessed with the weather, I have to
we
say.
We have. We really, really have. It's been gorgeous.
Okay, Bec, how can people find you if they want to find out more about Language Lovers EU or about Irregular Endings or indeed about your podcast?
Yep, so you can find us, I suppose, in all the regular places, on Instagram and on Facebook under either Irregular Endings or Language Lovers AU. Mm-hmm. Our websites are irregularendings.com.au or languagelovers.com.au. And if you'd like to listen to our podcast, Language Chats, you can search for Language Chats on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, again, all the usual places, or through a website too.
Fantastic. Bec, thank you so much for calling into the Coffee Break studios here to speak to us. And we wish you well with your ongoing journey in language learning.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure.
I really enjoyed having a chat with Bec, and it was great having her as a visitor here in the Coffee Break Studios in Glasgow. To find out more about her many language activities, check out the links in our episode notes. I think one of the key points Bec brought up in this Coffee Break conversation was that it's really important to base learning a language around your hobbies and passions in life, if you can. That's something that we definitely agree with here at Coffee Break. If you're interested in baking, try to read and follow recipes in the language you're learning. Or if you love the outdoors, head out on a walk and make a list of vocabulary to look up when you get back home based on the things you see. As Bec said, that is what will get you motivated, and it will also help create an immersive learning experience wherever you are in the world. Once again, thank you to Bec for taking part in this interview with us. We wish her all the best and hope to see her back in Scotland soon. Don't forget that the resources mentioned in all our episodes of Coffee Break Conversations can be found at our website. Just head to coffeebreaklanguages.com where you'll find everything you need. And if you've been enjoying this podcast and would like to help us spread the word to other language learners, we'd love you to leave a review on whichever podcast platform you use. We'll be back again next week with another Coffee Break Conversation. Until then, happy coffee breaking! You have been listening to a production of the Coffee Break Academy for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2020, Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2020, Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.